And I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times.
And welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Good Friday morning to you. Still to come on the program today, we'll hear from State Senator Chris Elliott. He joins us in the 11 o'clock hour, so make sure that you stay tuned for that. But join us now, favorite guest of mine, was a regular on my show up in Huntsville. Always a pleasure to introduce him. He's a columnist. You can read him a lot of papers around the state and several of the websites, Alabama Political Reporter, Yellowhammer News, places like that. Steve Flowers joins us on the line. Steve, how are you today?
Great, Jeff. Good to visit with you. I'm glad you're in Mobile.
Yeah, it's a change of scenery, to say the least, but trying to bring a quality political discourse to the 9 to noon time slot here.
They'll enjoy having you there. I'm in most of the papers in Baldwin County, Daphne and Fairhope and Paymanette, and I'm sure Baldwin County. I'm up there in Clark County, too, in the Clark County Democrat. So I'm in most of those papers down in that area of your state, well, especially Baldwin County, always too.
Hey, Steve, let's get right into it here. Let's talk. Well, first off, Senate race, we know who the two candidates are. We knew Doug Jones all along, the incumbent Democrat. Tommy Tuberville, your assessment of his campaign now that we've had a few weeks to look at it since removed from the Republican primary runoff. He played it safe there at the end, but he still had a big number there on runoff day.
Well, I wrote about that race this week, and I'm going to write again about it next week. He ran a perfect campaign in this regard. He used the old KISS formula, and that is keep it simple, stupid. I'm not saying he's stupid. I'm just saying that's the nickname for that formula. It applies to life, and especially applies to politics. And there were several maxims of Alabama politics, and if you will, national politics, too. And it's applying to the presidential race this year. And that one of the first maxims, Jeff, is that more people vote against someone than for someone. As a young page and a political student in my teens, I sat with George Wallace one day. Actually, I was Wallace's representative 15 years later, but having said, I represented Barbara County. Anyway, he told me one day, he said, Steve, you know, more people vote against someone than for somebody. And that's probably going to be true in the presidential race if Trump loses. People aren't voting for Biden. They're voting against Trump, probably because of the COVID thing. But I'm getting off the subject. Trump was the issue in that campaign. And I guess when Tommy Tuberville left his Florida home, 2 years ago, whenever he decided to run for the Senate in Alabama, and he, whoever he got to run his campaign, I don't think he had that sophisticated a campaign strategist, but he ran the campaign as though he did, and all he had to say was, I'm Trump's man. I guess polling would have told him that, and that's exactly what he did. And going further, I think he takes that same playbook and plays it in the fall and plays it safe. Because that's all he's got to do is just simply say, I'm Trump man, and Doug Jones is Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders man. And he won't be telling a lie because Doug Jones' voting record is identical to those three people. I mean, he's voted right down the line with the National Democrats. He got an ad saying he's a middle-road moderate Democrat, but his voting record on every major issue is as liberal as any Democrat, a New York or Massachusetts liberal. And I've known Jones since college, and he's always been... His credit, he never denied he was a national liberal Democrat. That race is going to be easy. Tuberville have a cakewalk if he just be quiet. He can almost hide. If somebody asks him a question, just simply say, I'm Trump's man. He's Nancy Pelosi's man.
Are you surprised Doug Jones never really tried to be more of a moderate Democrat with his votes? I mean, he could have stuck with his caucus on all everything except the big things everyone's paying attention to. Impeachment?
That's a very interesting
Kavanaugh
question.
Yeah.
It shows how insightful you are to be as young as you are. You know, that's exactly what us old political heads ask ourselves. When he accidentally won that seat in an anomaly, you know, and we all knew he was a national Democrat, our question was, would he really vote his conscience and be a national Democrat, liberal Democrat, or would he try to compromise and vote moderately He took that left wing approach. He stood true to his philosophy. In defense of him, he believes that stuff. He believes he's a national Democrat. He believes in abortion on demand, no budget limit, no guns. I mean, anything liberal you want to think about, he is a tip antipathy to Alabama voters. He never deviated. And one school of thought says that he's never going to change conservative Alabamians' opinion, and so therefore try to get your base fired up, which is what campaigns are boiled down to now. If Trump wins, it's because he got his base fired up, and if Jones wins, he knows he's got to get the African Americans and liberal Cadillac the white Democrats are in Alabama to get out and vote.
Steve, one thing I kind of wonder, Steve, though, you know, people they dismiss Jones as the New York or California senator, their third senator, because he votes along those lines. But maybe there's something to that, because look at where all his money's coming from. If he had gone the Joe Manchin route, like from West Virginia, and tried to be a moderate Democrat, would Hollywood, would all this money from outside have poured in on his behalf, and would he have been able to be even remotely competitive against the eventual Republican nominee in November?
Well, you got to remember how he got elected, and that was in an accidental anomaly when it really was not clear to the average voter who votes in the Moore Jones race. It was about personalities, and Moore had all that avalanche of negative publicity, and he was known nationwide as anti-gay rights and anti-gay marriage. Well, if there's any strong gay community in the world, it's in California, and that's why those liberal gay people in San Francisco loaded up on Doug Jones. He's a superstar out there in California. I mean, he's the only Democrat in the South. He's pro-gay rights, pro-anti-gun, pro-abortion on demand, against Trump, vote to impeach Trump, vote against every Supreme Court justice as conservative. I mean, he's a superstar. He's a celebrity out there. Matter of fact, he can run for senator in California and come close to getting elected in Alabama. I've written in my column, I call him the California Kid, because they fell in love with him, because here's a guy who's a Democrat in Alabama who's against Roy Moore. Moore had become a lightning rod around the country. He was like George Wallace or whoever you want to say. He was known as the most right-wing person against gay rights in the country. And so to have a chance to beat him was that those California people got excited about that. And they're just writing six again. They probably think he's still running against Roy Moore.
What are you hearing from Senator Shelby, the business community? What do they think of Tuberville's ascension to the Republican nomination?
Well, as you know, Senator Shelby really preferred Senator Sessions because he knew what he had with him and served 20 years with him. Didn't know what he would have with Tuberville, but obviously Shelby is for a Republican winning that seat. But he has not developed a relationship with Tuberville like Tuberville should have gone there the next day and developed a relationship with Shelby, because McConnell's not going to load him up with the money that he can get unless Shelby tells him to. Shelby has raised most of that money for the National Republican Senatorial Committee, probably 10% of it anyway. And so, you know, that's something Tuberville needs to do. He'll win either way, I think, with a lot of money, but he could have a couple $1 billion more if he'd go hat in hand to Senator Shelby. Shelby doesn't really know him. He likes him fine. He really, Doug Jones has tried to cultivate Shelby. He goes down there and has wine with him every day, and so Shelby personally likes Doug Jones, but he sure ain't going to vote for him, because if he does, I'm afraid the Senate's in jeopardy. The United States Senate's in jeopardy for the Republicans, and you know what happens if that happens? Shelby loses the chairmanship of appropriations. So I guarantee you Shelby's going to be for Tuberville. He'd be for rather have you, because, you know, you got more common knowledge. You probably do go up there and kiss his ring, but you know, that's where he is on that thing, and the business community's got nowhere else to go. And obviously that Club for Growth got interested in it too, and You know, that they're going to help Tubbs. Tubbs going to have plenty of money.
What about
he
the...
He need to take the bait and try to debate or get into the weeds on personality.
What about the Farmers? Alpha was early on Tuberville, and then that it looked like it might have been risky at the time, but the Farmers Federation, that endorsement has really paid off for them. They're going to have an ally in Washington, D.C. with Tommy Tuberville.
Again, very astutely observed on your part, and I'm over my head. That's the last paragraph of my column that is on up this week, is that he owes a lot to the Alabama Farmers Federation, Alpha, for his election. And quite frankly, he needs to ask for a seat on the Senate Agriculture Committee. We haven't had a seat on that Senate Agriculture Committee since Howard Heffern was there. And that's the seat they're running for. You know, Heffern was there 18 years, and he became chairman of agriculture. And he did a yeoman's job for agriculture in Alabama. And then Sessions ran that seat 20 years, and this is the seat Tuberville's running for. And the seat Jones is sitting in is Howard Heffern's old seat. But Heffern did a yeoman's job for agriculture. He realized how important it was to Alabama. And I think Tuberville realizes that they gave him credibility. I don't think people were taking him seriously until Alpha came out and endorsed him. And that endorsement, I think, is the real key to his getting impetus in the Republican primary. And he does. But I do think he owes it to that. I think he knows that. I've written it several times. And I've told him that. I said, Coach, you know, you owe a lot to Alpha. And he said, I know it. But he even said at the election last year, I appreciate Alpha's endorsement. And it is very important in the Republican primary. You know, a lot of people besides farmers follow that ballot because they know it's conservative. They're going to get the most conservative person. But maybe he will ask for a seat on agriculture.
Well, it would make sense because he's got the farm in Auburn. A lot of his support, I would say, probably comes from Auburn alumni. That tends to be more agriculture leaning. It would seem that's where his if there's a Tuberville base, it's from the kind of Auburn side of the equation.
You can see the results in the primary. He was stronger in the rural areas. I'm not saying that's because of the Alpha endorsement, but also, you know, that endorsement of Alpha is not made in the corporate headquarters of Alpha. Jimmy Parnell, the head, does not just say, we're going to endorse. You don't just go see Jimmy Parnell for that endorsement. You have to go out there and see every farmer leader. There's a president of farmers in every 67 counties. And they go in there and they vote. Now, having said that, I think that out of those 67 farmers, they represent Baldwin County and Mobile County and Clark County, the president of those associations, president of Alpha, Alabama Farmers Federation, in every county. As you said, I imagine most of them are Auburn fans, and most of them are probably Auburn graduates. So, you know, Auburn football was dear to them, and they knew Tuberville well.
What happens to Jeff Sessions? Does he have any future, you think?
I've always thought that Jeff Sessions should have just gone to work for a think tank up there in Washington. He really was an ideologue, and he's 73 years old. And he's been in Washington so long that his wife feels at home there, and his children and grandchildren are there. You get that age, and your grandchildren become your paramount interest, and I imagine he just... I don't think he comes home. I think he stays in Washington at this, and I don't think he'll lobby. He doesn't like to ask for favors, so I don't think he lobbies at 73 years old, but I do think he might latch on and work in a think tank or something. I think he stays in Washington, though.
Real quick,
he runs for office.
Real quick, we'll wrap it up kind of on this. I wanted to get your thoughts on the second congressional district. The Barry Moore didn't just win. He won by 20 points. Outspent by a mile, $2 million from Jeff Coleman. What do you make? How do you think we got to that point down there in a second?
The whole story is that Club for Growth. They tried to buy that first district race down there in Mobile. And I say this in my column, Jerry Cole must be one popular, strong, well thought of Mobilian to overcome that Club for Growth anti negative money he overcame in that first district. Coleman cannot do that. And I guess the 4-month layoff because of the COVID thing, the Club for Growth will try to win a seat, and they bust a poll that district and saw Coleman's support was a mile wide and an inch thick, you know, and it was, and all they were doing vote with name out there because it was funny, but they turned that thing around. He had a 40-20 lead. Moore barely made a runoff, but the Moore won 60-40. I saw it coming. I saw the money. You can't spend the Club for Growth spent $1 million in 3 weeks, the last 3 weeks of that campaign, in very well-designed, vicious, and disingenuous ads in that district. Brochures, TV mostly, radio too, and $1 million in that second district. That media market is not as expensive as Mobile or Birmingham, not nearly as expensive as Birmingham. $1 million in that media market. Club for Growth simply bought that district, bought that race. They tore Coleman apart. I told somebody, if I had $1 million spent against me in 3 weeks in that media market with vicious and disingenuous ads, my mama wouldn't have voted for me. Going back to my first ad, more people voted against Coleman than voted for Moore. It told that, the whole that story, that race was Club for Growth. That's been the story this year campaign in Alabama, is their interest in Alabama, deep pockets they got. And I'm beginning to see, Jeff, that they're going to play in this Senate race. I don't know what they spent, but they've got three unbelievably effective ads running against Jones right now. And I bet you their buyers already have $1 million in that Senate race. I don't know that.
Steve, we got to leave it there. We're out of time. Before I let you go, tell folks where they can read your column, where they can find it if they so choose to.
As I mentioned coming in, I'm in almost all papers in Baldwin County and the ones around Mobile. But my website is steveflowers.us. My column's been out every Wednesday online. But as you mentioned, some of the online publications run it too.
Hey, Steve, as always, thanks for making time for us on this Friday.
I look forward to it again, Jeff. Thank you.
Will do. That was called with Steve Flowers here on the program. We're going to take a timeout. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Living their lives, waking and baking.